Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Diana Witt, a senior theater and independent scholars major at James Madison University. Diana recently completed a fall semester studying comedy at the Second City in Chicago. Talented and highly creative, she has been recognized nationally for her work in theater journalism and speech during her academic career. Diana has co-produced and managed Zoom comedy shows and events featuring national headliners like Jim Gaffigan, Ophira Eisenberg, and Judy Gold. Diana's also appeared on The Ellen Show and The Wendy Williams Show. This coming March, she is producing her original play, Pseudo Psychic Medium, as a part of JMU's studio theater season. She is also our social media specialist for X2 Comedy. Welcome to the show, Diana. It's great to have you on today.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I love working with you. And this is just so fun to do a Team X2 spotlight featuring you. And it's just been very joyful to work with you. And you were working remotely for us while you were at Second City. And it was so fun to just catch up with you while we were working and hear about your experience. And I thought it was so interesting and fun that we just had to share it with the laughers so they could be a part of it too. So thanks again for being on today.
Oh, of course. Well, I love getting to kind of bring in my two worlds of comedy and social media together today.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. And I want to start with your interest in comedy, actually, because it kind of you're putting it together. It's like a masterpiece puzzle. When did you first know you had an interest in comedy?
Oh, well, I've always been kind of interested in the performing arts from a really young age. I started in dance when I was about 6 years old and did a lot of little theater camps. Summer camps here and there, and then started doing plays more later in middle school. But with comedy specifically, I sort of found most joy in performing in some of those comedic roles. And I love to have like a little funny one-liner part when I was a little kid in a production. But I think really one of the big ways that my love for comedy was really rooted was in, I wrote a one-act play my senior year of high school, and it was a comedic play about a group of eclectic producers who were choosing a play to produce on Broadway. Really fun, like outlandish, like caricature type characters. But I really fell in love with kind of creating that story and watching it come to life on stage, both through the characters and the story and the narrative and the acting with the actors that I got to work with. Cause I also directed it for this Virginia Theater Association conference. That was a statewide thing that our school got to go to. And it was really cool, especially getting to get the feedback afterwards about that. But that really sort of sparked my love of writing comedy as well, not just with performing. And that kind of chose me, or that kind of caused me to pursue sketch comedy and those sort of things as well later in college.
Now, do you find the writing process just comes naturally to you, or and what does that look like for you?
Definitely not comes naturally.
Okay.
I've had to work a lot on that, especially as I've been working on plays and longer works for my classes. It takes a lot of discipline to actually sit down and start writing something. I think that's the hardest part. Usually once I get going, I'm pretty good at getting content out once I start, but starting is the hardest part and coming up with the idea is the hardest part. But I think it helps to brainstorm with friends, and I'm always writing little things down in the notes on my phone. Just ideas that I have for jokes or bits or sketches. So having that as a starting place is really helpful when I actually sit down to write.
Yeah, I do that too. I'm a jokes folder on my notes app in the phone too. It's very helpful. Just this way, I was sitting down and reworking new material, and that's exactly where I pulled it from, that little notes app. I like that. Why did you pick JMU for your studies?
So that is a great question that I feel like kind of ties into my answer to the last question.
Okay, great.
Because I was actually thinking, when I was a senior in high school, I was really thinking about going to school for journalism specifically. But after I did that play, I sort of started having some doubts about, oh, maybe I should go to school for theater or writing for television or something in that nature. So I applied to a lot of schools as a journalism major. But when I went to it wasn't choices, because it's the open house that they have for interested students, not necessarily admitted students. And I went to the theater and musical theater and dance specific info session. And I heard a lot of students say, oh, well, I'm a double major in this. And I didn't even think of that, because I know a lot of schools that have BFA arts programs, you have to do that, and that has to be your one thing. But that really intrigued me. So I was like, oh, you know, there's no harm in just going and auditioning for the theater program and doing the interview for the theater program and seeing what comes out of it. So I ended up going through with that and being admitted to the theater program. And that was a big, sort of draw to JMU, was that kind of getting admitted to that program. I sort of was like, okay, if I can get in, like, maybe that's a sign that I should be going there to do that.
Well, good. I'm glad you followed this sign, Diana. I like that. Well, you are a writer also, and mm-hmm. and have been nationally recognized for your work in theater journalism and speech. I noticed from your resume quite a few recognitions there. So what are you most proud of and why?
Oh, that's a great question. I kind of surprisingly had a big year last year, which I feel like was a bit unusual because of COVID. A lot of things were shut down, but I was really able to do a lot virtually, because I did a conference called the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, Institute for Theater, Journalism and Advocacy, kind of a long name.
For sure. But I digress. Go ahead, Diana.
But I did a state or a regional conference for that. And then I was able to move on to the national, which was really cool. Although I think one of the highlights last year was in speech. I had been doing speech for 2 years, and I had mostly done interpretation events, which are kind of more of like acting, but with a little black book instead of on stage. So, you know, you might do something from a play or something from a book. But I sort of decided to branch out and take on a new event called Impromptu Speaking, where you receive a quotation, you have 2 minutes to kind of plan out what you're going to say, and then you have 5 minutes to give a speech about that quotation. So really, really kind of an intimidating thing. Yes. At first, and really kind of the first couple times you do it, you have no idea what is going on and how to manage your thoughts. You're like, that was the fastest 2 minutes of my life. But I actually, you know, was able to really practice and spend a lot of time with it. And then at Speech Nationals last year, I was a quarter finalist for Impromptu. So that's the top 24 in the nation. So I was really super proud of that.
Wow. So it went from high anxiety and really wonky to some high level of excelling. That is something very much to be proud of. Yeah.
I remember my first couple of speeches, it was like 30 seconds and I would be like, I don't have anything left to say. I still have 4 minutes, but that's all I have to say.
Is that what you would say too?
Yeah, because I would be up with my coach and my coach would be like, just keep going. Just keep talking. You got it. Just keep talking.
And you're like, I don't think you understand what's happening here. That's a great experience. You had a lot of great experiences. The other one I want to talk about for sure is co-producing Zoom comedy shows with national headliners like Jim Gaffigan. And you did this while you interned at the Manhattan Comedy School and working for Ruthless Comedy Hour. Now, what goes into producing those shows and what was your role exactly?
Yes. So I was on a Zoom call managing pretty much the technical aspects of these shows. So a big part of the job is managing the laughter, which is a lot harder over Zoom than it is in person, because you have to be, there's people that forget that their microphones are on and they're screaming about. I had somebody once in a show who was screaming about spaghetti. And I'm trying to, and you have to try to figure out who it is that's making the noise so you can mute them. If there's too many people laughing and it's overpowering the comedian, I have to go through and kind of pare down some of the laughter. If there's not enough laughter, I have to ask people to unmute. So that's a big, that's probably like one of the biggest, most important parts of managing a Zoom show. When I was in my role at the Manhattan Comedy School, I also was a co-producer on the show. So I had to communicate with the comics about, you know, booking them on certain shows, what dates worked for them, which was a super great experience and like really loved getting to talk to all the comedians and make connections that way. So that was something that I did more there. And then for the Ruthless Comedy Hour, which was more of a, we would have stand-ups on the show, but it was more of a kind of a variety show. So there would be an opening sketch, kind of like SNL. But sometimes those would have, you know, slides shown or different backgrounds. So I was involved in creating some of those things as well and putting different things up and kind of managing those technical aspects also.
Yeah, that is, I've been on Zoom shows myself. I can see how that can be challenging as a technical person behind the scenes managing all of that. I can appreciate that completely. Now, I heard you talk about the spaghetti, but there had to also be a lot of hilarious moments doing all those shows. What would you say was the most hilarious moment you remember doing them?
Oh, gosh, that has got to be... That's a tough question because I definitely had a lot of funny moments that were both intentional and some that were unintentional.
Do tell.
The spaghetti one I remember a lot. I'm trying to think of other things because we had a lot of times where people would just be like, we had at one time in a show where somebody was talking bad about the show and they were unmuted. And one of the comedians, Corey Kahaney, was like calling them out later in the show and was like, if you want to say something bad about us, you should probably mute yourself. that was funny, but also kind of an oops, ouch, kind of yikes moment.
Handling the Zoom heckler, it could be a workshop.
Yes. And usually after they say something bad, it's kind of already too late to take it back. You know, you can, once someone is talking, you can find them to mute them, but they would have already had to have said something to make you go and find them. So that's kind of the tough thing. Although I guess you would deal with hecklers live too.
Yes.
So it's part of making it live. And a lot of Zoom shows wouldn't have no, a lot of Zoom shows mute every person in the audience, which is easier to manage, but it's tougher for the comedians because they can't get that laughter and that feedback. So I think ultimately, like, it was a really, really great thing that we tried to have people laughing, even if there were some technical issues with that sometimes.
But
there were also a lot of intentional funny moments as well. I mean, obviously, like, way too many to count. But I mean, some really, really fabulous comedians that I got to watch live. My dog just came in the room.
That's great. What's your dog's name?
Paisley.
Oh, Paisley.
I have to describe her, I guess, for the...
Yes, yes, because the laughers are listening. Oh, what do we have here?
The snow.
Oh, my gosh. I wish you... I can't wait till we go video laughers one day, because then you could see this cute little puppy.
Yeah, tiny, tiny white fluffy dog. She has her Christmas bow still in.
Yes, she does. She's a Maltese?
She's a Pomapoo, so half okay. Pomeranian, half poodle.
Oh, you're adorable. All right, that was our puppy break. Now back
the puppy sidetracked.
Puppy sidetracked. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. So unintentional funny moments. Where were we? Yeah.
A lot of unintentional funny moments, but also obviously so many intentional funny moments as well. You know, amazing comedians, Wendy Liebman, Aaron Jackson, interviews with Jim Gaffigan, Joy Behar. So really like amazing, an absolutely amazing experience that I got to kind of work and talk to some of these people and see them live in the moment. Even though it was over Zoom, was really, really awesome.
Yes, it was. I think we sidetracked ourselves on the unintentional moments, but you know, it's all good.
That's what happens. That's you know, Zoom. This is real life.
This is live, you know, it's live audio laughers. We have lots to share though. I have another, I have to know story question. Mm-hmm. And that is, you appeared on the Ellen Show. Do tell us more. What is the story behind this?
Yes. So that was also a kind of crazy, crazy experience that I had. So this was this past summer. I had seen a TikTok about people who were signing up to do these virtual audiences, you know, on different talk shows and shows and things like that. And I had sort of seen it on TV, but I didn't know it was something that anyone could just sign up for. So I was like, that is really, really cool. I want to do that. And then really just, I don't know if it was chance or how I got picked to do that, but I was picked to play this game called Holy Roller, where normally if you're in studio, I would have actually had to play it, which good thing I didn't have to actually play it. Cause Ellen and Twitch, who's the DJ on the show, played a game. And then I was just on Zoom but whatever their program was, cheering them on. And Twitch won. And I won $1,000 on the Ellen Show.
What?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yes.
What did you spend your $1,000 on, if I may ask?
Oh, every time I've made a purchase in the past, whatever, how long has it been? 6 months.
Yeah.
I say, oh, well, I can afford it because the Ellen money. I can afford it. The Ellen money. So I've probably spent the Ellen money 8 times over at this point.
that dollar stretched. Oh, yes. Man, that's good. Yeah, you have had that phenomenal experience also after that summer at Second City. And I looked up the comedy studies that they do there. Second City teams up with the Columbia College of Chicago to offer the program. And when you click on about program, the first thing they say, I love so much. And I quote, anyone can tell a joke, but making great comedy is not so easy. What sets the comedic genius apart from the jokester? Technique, compelling content, strong point of view, comic timing, and the ability to harness creativity. That being what they are about, I can only imagine, along with their reputation, how powerful of an experience this was. What was your experience like, and what kinds of work did you do to learn these techniques?
That's a great question. And I think that quote really sums up what is a very difficult to sum up quickly semester, just because of how rich of an experience it was, because we did so many different things. I mean, I was in a writing class where I learned about sketch and writing for TV and writing for late night. In our history class, we did a bunch of different creative projects, like a stand-up assignment. We had to create our own staged silent film and a staged vaudeville performance. I was in an improv class where we created scenes that we then worked on writing down and putting in our show. In an acting class where we worked on old Second City scenes as well as newer scenes from television, which was really cool. And we did workshops in musical improv and songwriting and learning about how to market yourself in the industry, and how the business behind Second City all works. So really, I got so much out of it that supplemented my regular theater coursework, you know, because I got to branch out and do some of those other like TV things that I wouldn't have necessarily learned as a theater student. And I think one of the most rewarding things about it just was working with the other students in my cohort and in my program. I was in a cohort with 13 other people. So, and we were in all of our classes together all day, which at times is a lot to spend with the same 13 people. But
none of them ever got on your nerves.
None of them. Not at all. But really, I mean, I felt extremely fortunate to have the group of people that I did, because I mean, people didn't get on my nerves, but very rarely, you know, for how much time we were spending together, we got along really, really well.
Yes, you could tell that. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that was one of the most rewarding things, was working with my class and also seeing how other people's voices evolved, and also seeing how we all were able to work together while still having like very distinct onstage personas or points of view. And one of the things that one of our faculty members, or a few of our faculty members, always would say is, you know, it's not about networking with us. It's about networking with the other people that you're working with, because those are the people that you're going to call up in 10 years and say, I want you to come work on my show. Or they're going to say, I want you to come be in my improv group, or things like that. So I think that was really something where I was like, wow, you know, like that would be so amazing to kind of build that career and build it alongside some of my really good friends whose talents I value so much.
Yeah, that's really neat. There had to be challenging aspects of going through that experience as well for you personally. What was the biggest challenge for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think one of the overall, I think there obviously there in each class, there was probably a few things that I struggled with or was challenged by. But I think one of the biggest things was just having to be creative all day long. You know, because when you're at JMU, even though I'm studying theater, I'm really only taking maybe 3 at most theater classes in a semester, alongside with other, you know, gen ed and stuff for my other major. So it's a lot of different skills. And even though at Second City, we were in different classes, so obviously using a lot of different skills, I really had to push myself to be like, I have to creatively do all of these things. And I think a lot of times, even the, you know, the group projects and the writing sketches where you really have to come up with an idea, I think sometimes it takes more energy than just reading a chapter and taking a test. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was one of the most fulfilling things, but it also was sometimes really challenging and having to be like, I wrote a sketch last week. I already have to come up with another idea again. And I have to write a sketch for my based on my improv scene in my class. So how do I have enough ideas to sort of fill all of those different things?
And what would you do? Because I imagine some of those times you'd be like, I don't know if I have another idea. I just don't even know. So when that happened, what would you do? Hit Starbucks, go work out? How did you manage finding your creativity again or giving yourself that room and space to kind of reset?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things, I would love to go and work at coffee shops. Like even just a little bit of a change of scenery was so helpful. And just getting together with my friends, you know, we would go to school all day together and be like, oh, like we can't leave each other now. We've been together all day. So like meeting up with people and brainstorming and talking things out loud, I think was really, really helpful. And just making it less like I'm in my room and I have to come up with this idea and I'm on a deadline, and just like giving myself time during the week to sort of jot things down. We had an assignment for our writing class where we were supposed to journal. She said, try to do it every day, but if you get like every other day or like four times a week, that's a good goal to have. But that really helped too, just to sort of get the juices flowing. And then I would sometimes go back in my journal and be like, oh, is there anything that kind of sparks an idea from what I've already written?
Yeah, that's really good. It does help to talk things out. You know, the other day I was telling you about, you know, going to the notes app. My husband and I sat down, he's working on new material, I'm working on new material. So we set some time apart to just do that and set a timer, you know, to work on something for 10 minutes. And then we would talk it out. So he would read what he had come up with and give feedback and vice versa. And both of our bits ended up a lot better than we would have on our own. Not that we can't write on our own, but there is something to be said about the stimulation of creativity and collaborating with others who are also creative. I could see that working really, really well. This is an incredible program you've been a part of. There are some really amazing alums from it, like the fabulously funny A.D. Bryant from SNL. She's a graduate from this program. Do you, at Second City, is there a wall of pictures of people that have come through this program? Can you talk about that a little bit and what it looks like? Maybe paint a visual for us that may not have seen it.
Yes. So there are pictures all over Second City of different Second City alumni. And it's kind of amazing to see, you know, people that you wouldn't have necessarily thought of them as a Second City alum, but that you see their picture and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize they went here or they performed here. Now all the pictures on the wall are you know, people who have studied there, people who have performed there. So not necessarily people that did the specific program that I did. Although there are a ton of, like you said, A.D. Bryant, but also a ton of other notable alumni of people that are working out in L.A. There was one class where we were talking about, you know, like TikTok comedians, like famous TikTokers. And it, like people rattled out a couple of names and our teacher like Grace, I'm going to say her name wrong. Grace Kuhlenschmidt, big on TikTok.
Okay.
One of our teachers was like, oh, she was a comedy studies alumni. And that was somebody I didn't even think of would be, who would have gone through the program. So that was pretty cool. But I mean, just in terms of Second City in general, they have a ton of, different education programs, and they've housed a ton of performers just through their main stage shows and touring company shows. So I mean, on the wall there's Tim Robinson, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Stephen Colbert, I mean, like, so honestly, there's a room that has pictures all the way around. And you will go in and immediately say, oh, there's Catherine O'Hara. You know, I'm sure it's pretty. There's, you know, there's some people that I don't recognize. And there's some people that I'm like, oh, I know them from this. So that was really, really cool. And a good reminder while you're sitting, eating lunch and thinking like, oh, how am I ever going to write this sketch? And you see all the pictures up on the wall. So it's like kind of like, oh, this is why I'm here.
It's inspirational. Yes. Yeah. I like that a lot. You are writing again, even as you come back here, you're preparing for the play that you wrote and that you're producing. It's an original play, Pseudo-Psychic Medium. What is this play about and what is the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, so Pseudo-Psychic Medium is about a young woman, B, who's kind of at a crossroads in her life. She's struggling financially and doesn't really know how to make ends meet. So she kind of has this crazy idea that she pitches to her roommate, Ray, that she could pretend to be a psychic medium. So through this kind of crazy scheme, she meets this high school aged girl, Evie, and sort of forms this unlikely friendship with her and has to it becomes sort of a comedy of errors as she has to struggle with when she's going to let up the lie, and if she's going to let up the lie. So that's kind of a little synopsis of the play. And I started working on this play in January of 2020.
Okay.
I was in the advanced playwriting class, where the whole point of that class is you spend the entire semester developing a full-length play. So full-length play is like 85 plus pages or 80 plus pages. So it's an endeavor. You spend each week just creating, generating new material, going back, cutting, revising. And I sort of was really, I've always sort of been intrigued by some of the spookier stuff, like ghosts and mediums and spirits and all of those sort of things. So that was sort of just an idea that I had that I, over winter break, that I just sort of ended up developing. And I'm still even developing and changing the play now. I'm working on it as part of my honors capstone project for the Honors College at JMU. So I'm working on fleshing out the comedy, especially. Not that that's like a thing that I do, but working on fleshing out different aspects of mistaken identity and physical comedy. So I did a little case study with studying some published plays, and now I'm applying that to strengthen my work and generate some new material for the play and changing some other things.
That's really good. Is this play open to folks outside JMU? Can the laughers come see it? And if they can, where is it going to be? How can they find tickets? What can you tell us?
Yes, definitely. Yes. Please come. I would love to see all of the laughers there. I will be at all of the shows. So please come find me and say hi. But it will be running in JMU's Studio Theater, which is the Black Box Theater there, from March 26th through 30th. So I'm not sure. I don't think there's a ticket link live yet.
Okay.
But it will be going up. It should be going up on the Forbes website for people to buy tickets. People will also, there's tickets sold at the box office at the door beforehand.
Okay, great. That's excellent. We can put that in the show notes for the laughers. We will definitely do that. We will definitely do that. Well, we're excited you are back with us in person, better than ever. Diana version 3.0. And here back with us at X2 Comedy, because you do social media campaigns for us on Facebook and Instagram. And in fact, You are running a new one for us this year with, and it's called the Laughers Scavenger Hunt. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So I'm super excited that we're launching the Laughers Scavenger Hunt. This is a really great way for people in the community to engage with us more, engage with both the podcast and some of our live events and shows. So all of our followers will have the opportunity to participate in that. In this, they have three different options or three different ways that they can participate each month. It's a monthly run campaign. So entries got to be in by the end of the month. So get working on it. but you can either post about something from a podcast that struck you or something that you learned, something interesting. You can post a picture of yourself enjoying the valley at one of the events or places that, was talked about in the podcast, or you can post a picture of yourself at a show with the comedian, one of the X2 comedy shows. So there's instructions about it, more specific instructions about it on both Facebook and Instagram. And you can post it on either Facebook and Instagram and tag us, DM us, and use the hashtag for a chance to win big. We've got some awesome prizes like tickets and t-shirts. So definitely make sure that you get your entries in. And I'm so excited to go through them and see what everyone's doing in the valley and what everybody say about the valley.
Yeah.
So it should be a ton of fun. And I definitely encourage everybody to try their hand at an entry and check out those posts on social media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The hashtag is Virginia's for Laughers with X2 Comedy. We'll put that in the show notes as well. It's the first month we're doing it. And anytime you're starting something new, you're going to tweak it along the way. But we really are looking forward to putting comedy on the map here in the Valley and growing the community of laughers so that we can bring more joy to the residents and the visitors here. So we're excited to share that with you all. And we're excited that Diana's helping us with it because I can't do it. So I need the help and we're thankful for her. Well, Diana, as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow you on social media or otherwise?
Yes. So I do have real estate on the web. That's like diana-wit.com.
diana-wit.com.
That's my little piece of the web. And then on Instagram, you can find me at diana_wit. And then Twitter, almost the same thing. Move the underscore. It's just underscore Diana Wit, all one word.
Got it. Okay. Excellent. Well, laughers, we will put that info also in the show notes. So you will have how to get tickets to see her play, her information for contact, as well as the ways you can win in the scavenger hunt. We will make all of that available. This has been so great. Thank you so much, Diana. It has been delightful to have you on the show today.
Thank you. It's been such a blast. I'm so glad I got to do this.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Me too. Laughers, be sure to follow X2 Comedy on Facebook and Instagram, where you can engage and interact with the social media campaigns Diana runs for us. And you can help us put that comedy on the map, growing a community of laughers that can bring more joy and laughter to the residents and visitors in the Valley. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.